think we want to continue to pray for our pastor. He continues to cough quite badly. So let's remember him in our prayers, and that he will be able to recover. We also want to pray for Ben Chong's family. Ben's grandpa passed away. He's 100 over years old. It's a Chinese wake. And so we want to especially pray for Ben's father and the whole family. Okay? And, well, let's go to God in prayer before we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you and to look to you for your grace and your mercies. And this evening, we especially want to pray for our pastor. He continues to be unwell. We pray that you would be with him and help him to recover. Grant him your grace and strength. Thank you for his love for us, for the way he sets himself as an example to us, even when he shared with us your word while he was unwell yesterday. So we pray and ask that you especially keep him, and we pray that you will, that he will be able, Lord, to have a quick recovery. We also want to pray for Ben Chong and his family, even as they suffer this time of bereavement. We pray that you would indeed be with the whole family and comfort their hearts and be with them in a very special way. Commit them into your hands. We ask that you would also be with us even as we study your words and even as we seek to gain a bit more insight to Psalm 27, that you will enlighten us and be with us in a very special way. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this evening, my preparation for this prayer meeting was done in double quick time. And so it's been an interesting 2 days. But I've been interacting with Pastor too. And so I hope that what we're going to study this evening will be a blessing to all of us. Now, even as we study the Psalms, or even Psalm 27, it's good to be able to have an understanding of how we should study these Psalms. And I'm going to, first of all, to help you understand the differences between what is the context of a psalm and what is the background. I know that it sounds similar, but I'm just going to raise up some differences so that you can appreciate these terms a little bit better. Okay, first of all, when you talk about the context of a psalm, right? Now, there are different types of context. There is the historical context, there is the grammatical context, there is the literary context. Historical, it could be, for instance, an event in the history of Israel concerning David's life. Okay, grammatical, it has to do with the tenses and whatever. Literary could be the genre of the type of words that is being used. It could be historical, it could be poetry, prophecy, and so on. Okay, so the context is important. Now, when you talk about context, it's something that is specific. Okay, I'll give you an example. For instance, sometimes you read on top of the psalm, there are what we call superscription. Now, superscriptions are added on. I'll give you an example like Psalm 3. Let's go to Psalm 3. So Psalm 3, you see on top, you say a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So with that superscription, it sets the context for the psalm. It is most likely during that time in which Absalom was out to usurp the throne. And we can see that this was a psalm that David wrote. So it's very specific. When you talk about context, it's something that is very specific. You're looking at a particular event, or a sequence of events. Okay, give you another example. Let's turn to Psalm 34. So in Psalm 34, we see this psalm, the superscription say, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Ahimelech who drove him away. Now, Ahimelech is basically a title. This particular person, his name is Achish. So as a throne name is Ahimelech, but when you read it, in the context of the life of David, it is actually, his name is Achish. So then we know the context of this particular psalm by this superscription. So it's very specific. It is something that we consider to be an event. Now, when we talk about background, a background of David's life is slightly different. Okay, you're looking at something more general. So let's turn back to Psalm 27. And Psalm 27, there's nothing, no clue whatsoever is given. It's only a Psalm of David. We know this is a Psalm of David, and that's about it. And we don't know when this was written. So we can only work with what we call the background. So when we talk about background, the background is something that's very general. We would look at the general milieu of the times, the environment, the social conditions and political situation, and so on and so forth. And from there, we can gain some insights as to how we look at this psalm. Okay? Because the psalm will have certain emphasis, then we can, of course, deduce certain things that would help us to have an idea or what David is focusing on, what is he seeking to write about. Now, this psalm, because of the background, it can span decades. You know, when we look at, I'm going to give you a quick life story of David in a while, okay? And we're going to divide it into three periods, and we're just going to see how actually at different points in time, some of these ideas or insights actually are apparent. Okay, so we need to be able to look at a psalm and we check it against the background, we check it against his life in a sense, and from there we kind of see how the background would actually be no longer the background, but it will actually flow out and emerge as a understanding for us to appreciate the psalm. Okay, so that's what background does. You need to know the background in order to appreciate the psalm that much more. Okay? I hope that is a quick perspective concerning how do you look at context. So when you read a psalm and then you can see, wow, okay, it gives you a certain context, then, okay, that helps you to appreciate the psalm so much more. But it's nothing, and then there is, okay, this is a psalm of David, then you need to work with what we call the background of the life of David. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a quick summary of the life of David in three periods, okay? And so that we will be able to roughly have an idea as to the life of David. You can read it, of course, from 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Samuel. It gives you a whole record or historical record of the life of David. Okay, so period one, what we call the pre-king period. Okay, of course, he grew up, roughly he was about maybe 10 to 13 years old, where he was anointed as king by the prophet Samuel. Okay, that's 1 Samuel 16. So that's just a rough idea. Okay, so at that point in time, after a while, King Saul became an enemy of David. So we see Saul being very jealous of David. He had killed Goliath. He was specially honored by the ladies in song. And Saul was very upset. right? So after that, he began to plot against David. And of course, David had to run for his life. Okay? And of course, there were other enemies, such as Philistines and so on. So during that time, you have Saul and other nations. And by the time you come to 2 Samuel, okay, when he became installed as king, right? So that's your period, second period, right? When he became king. Now, during this time, as he was installed, let's turn to 2 Samuel 2, and we see him being installed as the king of Judah first. Okay. And verse 4. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Right? And that was him being anointed king over Judah. Now we also read in verse 8, but Abner the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him and made him king over Gilead, basically over Israel. Okay, but later on, Ish-bosheth, he was king. Now, look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Okay? And then the sons of David were listed. And then when you come to chapter 5, then David reigned over all Israel. Okay? Verse 1, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Okay. And David made a covenant with them, and they anointed David king over Israel. And that time, David was 30 years old. Okay. And so we see him being installed as king, and then he reigned for 40 years. So we are given an idea of how old he was. He was 30 years old, and then he reigned for 40 years. And during this time as king, he began to establish the kingdom. He was able to build the army. He established justice, courts of law, government. So it became a significant kingdom, okay? But towards, as we go along, as David established himself, there was certain neglect that David allowed. One was actually in regards to his family. Now, part of the problem that arose later part of his life was because of the neglect of his family, his children, his wives and so on. So when you come to 2 Samuel 13, you see how Amnon, one of his sons, ended up having this problem with Tamar. Okay, he raped Tamar, and after that, Absalom was very upset. He decided to kill Amnon. Okay, and subsequently, now, David did not deal with the matter properly, and Absalom was upset. He subsequently decided that he wanted to usurp the throne. Okay, so of course he plotted against. So as you can see, David, in the evening years, which is the latter years, which is the third period, you see, he began to lose power. Absalom plotted against David. He began to win the hearts of the people, okay, by hearing them out, promising them things, and he began to conspire against David. And subsequently, when you come to 2 Samuel 15, David had to run from Absalom. Okay. Subsequently, he had all kinds of problems, enemies. So there was Absalom, there was Shimei, okay, a Benjamite who cursed David. Even after Absalom, you have the rebellion of Sheba, who also went against David. So all these things came about because of neglect. Neglect to the family, neglect concerning his rule, elect justice. And one of the things that you also see that he, subsequently he did not have the kind of light from God that he may have previously. So even as we come to Psalm 27, that in brief is the kind of background that is needed to understand a psalm such as Psalm 27. We don't know exactly when this happened, but a number of references to the problems that David experienced would help us when we look at the background. Okay? So let's go into Psalm 27 now. And in Psalm 27, we also read of the problems that arose in the context of David's life, okay? Such as the wicked. So in verse 2, we read, "When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh," okay? Basically, that means that they were out to destroy him. So there were people like Saul, there were people like Absalom. They were out to kill David, right? "My enemies and foes," okay, "they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me," right, "my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." So armies, they will besiege, and so on. Okay, look at verse 12 read, "Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathed out violence." So we can see how enemies. Yeah, the enemies were animals. Right? They are violent, they are right. To David they were, okay? And so yeah, they were out to deliver him to the will of the adversaries, their false witnesses. You can see a lot of them, they would say all kinds of things against David, they would lie, they would plot against him, and these are ways and means to get at David. Okay? And I don't know whether you've been following the news about this Brett Kavanaugh, and you know, all kinds of things, accusations are said against him as he is to become the next judge in the Supreme Court. And all kinds of things, I mean, we really don't know, but wow, the Democrats, they have been saying all kinds of things and all kinds of accusations. And yet, at the same time, you know, finally he is voted in. And so now the Supreme Court is towards the right. Hopefully they do right and they do the right thing. But all this, you know, all this while it's been towards the left side. Now it is towards the right side. And, you know, things like abortion would have to be relooked at and so on. And that's why the Republicans, they vote for Trump for this particular reason. Not for Trump himself, but for these kind of concerns. And we can understand why. But, you know, there will be always those who would say all kinds of things if they are your enemies. And they would do all kinds of violent things. Okay, so David had to go through all these things, enemies that are out to hunt him down and to attack him. And David had to fight many of them. Okay, and you recognize that throughout his first period, second period, third period, throughout his life, he had to deal with enemies, enemies, enemies. This is a long-drawn problem. This is a problem that didn't go away, really. Right from the very beginning, as a teenager, there was already enemies out to get him, right? As king, there were enemies. Towards the later part of his reign, still there were enemies. Okay, so this was a problem that he had to face. Now, how did he then face up to this problem? Let's go to Psalm 27 and verse 1. And he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Okay? "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith in the Lord to be able to face up to these problems and enemies. It's not going to be easy, because you know that when you talk about a problem, that's not going to go away. One can be resolved, but then another one will come about. Enemies will be perpetually there. They are out to get David. And what does he need to do? He needs to look to the Lord. Now, I must say that this psalm is written upon reflection. Okay? He wrote this psalm upon reflection. Did he have all these understanding previously? The answer is no. Okay? So David wrote this at a later, you know, upon reflection. So what David wrote was not there with him previously. So that's something that we want to take note of. So God is meant to be light to David, and he is to seek the Lord for their light, for their understanding. And of course, light is something that we have come to appreciate from the family camp. We talk about light and darkness, remember? Yeah. From Jeremiah? Isaiah. Oh, very good. Yeah, Stanley, very good. You passed. And, you know, so, and walking in the light, right? And learning what it means to have that path of light, absolutely important. Now, we studied Proverbs recently, and I thought this was a wonderful verse to study at those in marriage counseling. Let's turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 18, and it says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun," wow, "that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." I thought, wow, this is wonderful. As we learn to have wisdom, as we are guided by the Word of God, the path of the just, the just shall live by faith. It's like the shining sun. And the shining sun would, you know, be evident to all. In fact, it will shine to others also. And that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. And that's what every day should be like. There should be that sun that is shining along our path. And whatever it is that we seek to do, what we choose to do, there should be light. Okay? And that's what it means for the Lord to be our light. Okay? He is meant to be our, let's go back to Psalm 27. He is meant to be our salvation, to give us deliverance. God delivered David many times, again and again. And it's with light and darkness, right? light against darkness, with light and salvation. That is how you learn to overcome your fears. He was able to say that, whom shall I fear, right? And then he talks about strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, but what David wrote here may be good, but it was not something that he had previously. In fact, he struggled quite a bit. In fact, initially, there was hardly any light. Right? Maybe when he was fighting against Goliath, you know, as a young man, wow, that was really outstanding. The light that he had, the understanding that he had, that was so different from all the other Israelites, the soldiers and all, the kind of faith that he had was truly something that stood out. And so there may be glimmers of light, but far often than not, he really struggled. Well, he thought that maybe this is the way, but there was not the light that God meant to give him. See, in 1 Samuel 13, it is said that the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord commanded him to be commander over his people. So we see these comments concerning David when he was young. And there was light to some extent. But as we go along, and more we see him entering into sin, into deceit, into his own ways, as what we've been exploring, we recognize that less and less light. But sometimes there's a bit of light. Sometimes, you know, not so, enlightened. So there's no consistency in having that kind of light to guide him in the way he would walk. And oftentimes he is drawn to his own ways. It is his own light, his own understanding. And he thinks, you know, I shall go to the enemy, I shall go to the Philistines, I shall go to the Moabites. Maybe I can find protection with them, and so on. And sometimes you ask yourself, where is that light? And so we do not see that constancy of light that the Lord would want him to have. And the Lord is that light, right? And of course, when he fall into sin, we recognize there is no light. See, he is someone who sought to acquire different wives, and along the way, he had all kinds of problems. Right? Problem with Bathsheba. And yet at the same time, when he finally recognized his sin, when light came, then he began to turn, began to be enlightened, not only to his own sin, but what is the right way in which he should conduct himself and to rule the land. But it was something that he had to learn and to discover. And we see here that in Psalm 27, he is able to say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Let's go on. And in, you know, one of the things that he needed to fight is this idea of fear. And we are all kinds of fears, sure. Right? Of whom shall I be afraid? And then in verse 3, though an army may encamp against me, being besieged, my heart shall not fear. Now, so one of the ways in which you can study Psalm 27 is to see how it is actually David having all these kind of fears, especially in the past. This is what he was struggling with. This was what he had to go through. So there were many times in which he had to encounter fears. Okay, give you an example. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 21. So in 1 Samuel 21, we read about him being afraid of Achish. Okay? And 1 Samuel 21, verse 12. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he pretended to be mad and so on and so forth, you know, and scratched on the doors of the gate, saliva falling down on his beard. Well, he's a really good actor. You know, he can join our sketches and, right? But why did he need to do that? I was thinking, he must be crazy, man, to, you know, to do something like that, to go to the enemies. And yet at the same time, where's that light? Where's that understanding? Where's that faith? You know, fear gripped him. Look at Psalm 23, verse 3. We see David's men being afraid. Look at verse 3. But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" So, of course, he inquired with the Lord. And 23 verse 17. So he was in the strongholds in the wilderness, and then Jonathan came to him, and verse 17, he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you." So Jonathan knew he was afraid. So David struggled with fear, and this was something that he sought to try and overcome, and to be able to find the kind of confidence, it was not easy. So going back to Psalm 27, it says here, right? "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." Okay? So this was some of the struggles that David had to go through previously in the past. And he had to deal with many fears. Right? And ultimately, the confidence that he needed to find was really in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord as one who is light. Confidence in him being that salvation. Confidence in him being that strength. And we need this. We really need God to be that light, to show us the way in order to deal with fears. You know, fears will always grip us. Constantly, when we have problems, fears come. Fears of the uncertainty, anxieties concerning what is going to happen, and especially if it's a long-drawn problem. Sometimes you hope that problems will just go away. Right? Okay, you deal with a problem. Okay, let's face it. And you hope that, okay, let's try and resolve it. Should be done with it. And, you know, okay, it's gone. But far other than not, problems do not go away. You can resolve so-called a situation, but then something comes out again. And problems keep appearing in different forms, but it's always there. And sometimes when you deal with long-drawn problems, fears are there. And David had all kinds of fears, naturally. But it's when we look to God as light, when we look to God as our salvation, as one who will deliver, as one who will be our strength. See, it's not learning how, you know, when we go through these problems and difficulties, the tendency to give up, the tendency to throw in the towel is very real. So on Saturday at the YAG, I was been teaching the young adults, you know, we must learn to press on. Learn to press on. So I drew a picture on the board and I wrote the word on, and I say, press on. That's how you want to move forward, right? Press on. Okay? And some of you have not had dinner, right? So, and how do we press on? I was teaching them, look, let's learn to forget the things that are behind. Don't focus on what is behind. focus on what God has called us to do. Focus on the Lord. As you focus, go forward. Press on. Don't be dragged down by the things that is in the past. We want to find that strength in the Lord. He is going to be that light. He is going to be that salvation. He will be our strength. Focus on that. And when you focus on that, you can move forward. And you can keep moving forward. You don't need to be in despair or give up in any way. Okay? Now, this is how David had to learn bit by bit. Okay? It was a whole learning experience for him. Now, let's go back to Psalm 27. When you come to a part where his own personal desires were expressed. So let's look at verse 4. And he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, and in a time of trouble." Okay? So this is a valid desire. It's a good desire. It's a personal desire that he really wants to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, one thing about David is his love for the Lord's house. You know, he has this tremendous love and appreciation for the house of the Lord. Okay? So he is seeking to come before the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord, right? To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire, right? So in the past, when you look at David, he's only looking at the things that are of the peripheral. See, we can come and worship and we can focus on that which is peripheral. And we can lose out on that which is meant to be the main focus. We are seeking for answers to our problems, to our prayers. But we are still not looking at what should be the main focus. So yesterday when Pastor spoke to us about how it's so important for us to seek the face of the Lord, that is absolutely what we need to do. Not about looking at desiring to look for answers. And that becomes a focus that may not be what the Lord is looking for. So we can come to the Lord's house and we can sing and we can worship and we can be only doing that which is peripheral. We want to be able to know and understand that it is so important to look at what is truly the point of what it means for us to be worshiping, that we come before the Lord. It is to look at his face and to know the Lord so much. That sense of closeness that we are meant to have. Okay? Now, this is something that we need to really appreciate, because David, he was sometimes drawn to come to the temple, to come to inquire. See, there were many times in which the situation calls for David to inquire. He inquired many times, but he may be missing the point of it all because of the problem, because of the circumstances he was in, because of the dangers that he found. It was absolutely necessary for him to go to the Lord and to pray and to seek and to inquire. Sure. But it's important that we do not just look for answers. Right? I mean, an example would be Kayla. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Okay? Samuel 23, right? So Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, verse 2, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Then, of course, the men were afraid. Then David inquired again, verse 4, and the Lord answered, arise, go to Keilah, for I will deliver. Right? And in verse 9, when David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he asked for the ephod. Then David said, O God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city of for my sake. Right? When Keilah delivered me into his hand, will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver. See? So he inquired. But where is the face of the Lord? Where is the seeking of the face of the Lord? So that's something for us to think about as we study Psalm 27. This is something that we will talk about lots more as we go along. But we do want to be able to recognize that it's not just about looking for answers. If we are just going to prayer and we're just looking for answers, it may not be the right approach that we should adopt. Okay? Now, at the same time, we also want to talk about the hope. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 27. So in Psalm 27, we also read about how David was seeking to learn to find hope. Okay. Verse 5, and in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. So this sanctuary, a pavilion, is not just about a physical. We are talking about a spiritual sanctuary here. Okay? And this is really about God's protection. How the presence of the Lord will bring about protection for David. So he talks about, he shall hide me in his pavilion. So it's not a literal pavilion. It's not referring to the physical, but really the spiritual. The secret place of his tabernacle shall hide me. That wonderful sanctuary that God in his presence will give. And he will set me high upon a rock. And this is, again and again, we see how God will specially protect David. Many times, numerous times. For instance, let's turn to 1 Samuel 19 and we see how even the Holy Spirit in coming upon Saul and his messenger protected David. So in 1 Samuel 19, verse 11, right? We read, verse 9, a distressing spirit came upon Saul. And then Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. Okay. Of course, Michal told him, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. And David sought to escape. Now, then Saul sent messengers back to see David. And verse 19, now he was told Saul, saying, take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, He sent other messengers as they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Wow. So again and again, right? They ended up prophesying. And he also went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Siku. And so he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed, they are at Nob. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth. And then he stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore they say is Saul among the prophets. And you know, David was specially spared because of the work of the Holy Spirit and using prophecy. I thought it was really interesting. So God would be that special sanctuary. God would be that one who would specially protect him. So many times. So here we see four times at En-Gedi, he was saved. In Keilah, he was saved. Many, many times. God would be his protection, would be his pavilion, would be his tabernacle. And the Lord specially protected him. Right? And so much of Psalm 27 is really how we see him learning how to have that kind of faith and courage. Well, previously, he didn't really have all these things in the past. Okay? And I thought it was quite interesting, the last part, towards the end. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 21. And you see David almost killed by a giant. Right? Maybe he was trying to take revenge for Goliath. But in 2 Samuel 21, we read verse 15. When the Philistines were at war against with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. You see, so he's really much later in his life, evening years, no strength, still want to go and fight. There's David for you. The bloodlust is still there. All these years. Okay? But he's tired already, going faint. Right? Want to faint already. Right? And Ishbi-benoth, who was one of the sons of the giant. The weight of those bronze spear was 300 shekels. Wow, that's heavy. Who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. Okay, he almost killed David. But Abishad, right, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Wow, almost killed by this giant. Right? And so he was spared. And later on, they advised him, you know, not to go out anymore. See? You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. See? He was meant to be the light of Israel. That's what a king is meant to be. You are supposed to be a light to the people of Israel. You know, there was such inconsistency in David. There are times there were like, sometimes, you know, there's his wayward ways, and so on and so forth. Where's the wisdom? You're still wanting to fight, right? You can't. You really cannot go to battle at this point in time. And no wisdom, right? And then you come to chapter 22, just to show you this idea of the superscription again. So then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. And this is actually also Psalm 18. So let's turn to Psalm 18 and you see the superscription that's there. Okay, so it concerns all his enemies, right? So this is something that we want to appreciate. So in Psalm 18, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So it's reference to all the different enemies and so on. One of them, of course, is Saul. And, you know, there was praise and something to really appreciate. Okay? So we thank God. We thank God for protection. You know, protection is so important. And David should have just consistently turned to God for that protection. But he didn't. He kept going to, go to Achish, go to this place, and time and time again, he would turn to all kinds of other sources of protection. Where the best protection is the Lord himself. The one who would deliver him, the one who would be his salvation. Talk about being delivered. I was sharing yesterday at the bilingual worship about how Chinky and I, we were traveling along the highway in our car, and we thought that we could make one last ride before we go to the petrol station. But we were wrong. So as we were traveling along KPE towards TPE, we were meeting my parents for dinner. Pastor Mitch and Steph were also in the car. Suddenly the car began to slow down. You know, so you press the accelerator, nothing was accelerating, and it became slower and slower. And there was no road shoulder along this highway. So actually, we stopped on the first lane. So we were blocking the first lane. Okay, so I turned on the hazard light. Immediately, Chinky called for the AA. And I went behind because I wanted to open the boot, and I saw the cars coming. So straight away, I began to wave the car. You know, so I kept walking back, further back from the car, and I waved. So I was there, like some traffic police, and okay, move to the next lane. And you can see, you know, there were big trucks coming, and some of the cars, they were behind the big trucks, so the big trucks would turn, and then they would, then you see me, you know, they were like, and oh, I say, hey, slow down, you know. So it was quite scary, I must say, okay. And then my wife told me, the A tow truck is going to come in 45 minutes. I was thinking to myself, why am I going to do this for 45 minutes? You know, but so I was doing it for quite a while, and then Pastor Mitch, they managed to get a Grab taxi and then went to meet my parents. And, well, but soon, I saw lights coming from afar. Whoa, I was thinking, what is that light? You know, and that's really happening, you know, many trucks, many cars, and almost, you know, miss they had to like come to a quick stop because they saw me and so on. But then from far you saw the light coming. Wow, I really saw the light, you know. Well, it was a traffic police motorcycle. I never been so happy to see a traffic motorbike, really. And you know, he came, he parked next to us. Okay, how, everything all right? Wow, he parked, and then the light flashing, he put his cone. Right? I don't know where he found his cone from. He suddenly took out 4 or 5 cones. He put it by the road. Whoa, that was really good. And then, wow, I kind of diverted the... Wow, after that, I was so relieved. Okay? He said, don't worry. You call the tow truck. Yes. Then soon, okay, this Imas. I tell you, I take my hat off to the LTA. You don't even have to call them. They have cameras throughout all the expressways. So later on, I was asking one of them, hey, how do you all know? I say, sir, this is a computerized system. Whether it's a dog on the road, whether there's a car by the roadside, the computer will pick up, and straight away they will ding, 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 and they will tell us, go and to this spot. So it's all computerized. I take my head off to the LTA, seriously. You know, wow, I was so happy. And then they came, sir, no problem. We will take you to the nearest car park outside, which is the Pasir Ris car park, and then you can tell the AA to go and pick you up there. Wow, I tell you, I thank God. I was so happy. You know, because when I got out of the car, I kept thinking of all the newspaper reports about cars banging this person and that person along the road. I said, Lord, please watch over us. We are on the extreme lane. I mean, the first lane, and cars are just zooming by. Nobody's slowing down. So I was very, very thankful. And, you know, finally so we were brought to this truck park, you know, all the trucks where they park, and then the AA guy came and picked us up, brought us to the nearest petrol station so that we could fill it up. And then, and you know, I turned to my wife. I asked my wife previously, before we left, okay, should we go to the petrol kiosk? She said, I think she'll be okay, you know. I'm not blaming her. But we say, okay, we're not going to quarrel about this or anything. We just thank God that we are safe and sound. Yeah, my wife is on the way back from Argentina, so I can tell you all these things. But really, thank God, really. I mean, sometimes we take things for granted, but frankly, it was a bit scary. And, you know, just for the Lord's grace and mercy to watch over us and His protection. And that's something that we should rejoice in. And that's what David did. Towards this verse 7, he really sought to learn what it means to praise the Lord. Right? He says, verse 6, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now that's something that David really didn't have in the past. He didn't have the kind of understanding. Sometimes it is important to look to the past to have the kind of knowledge and understanding to be able to see the present situation and learn. Learn what it means to find that faith in the Lord. Here we see how David was able to find victory. And David did experience victories in his past. Right? Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, all around me. Just imagine, enemies all around. Right? I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So when we see the Lord's protection and keeping, the Lord's strength, the Lord's salvation, the Lord's light, we should rejoice. There's so much for us to sing about. So much for us to give the kind of worship that God deserves. And it's when we have this close relationship with Him that we would be able to acknowledge God's hand in our lives, and to be able to give the kind of worship that the Lord rightly deserves. And that's something that I've learned for myself too. Each time when the Lord's grace and mercy, each time when we travel, we are safe, you know, that's something for us to rejoice in. Thank God for that pastor came back safely. We thank God for that. We don't want ever to take these things for granted. Next week, he travels again. He's going to Perth. And we want to be able to look to the Lord for that protection one way or another. So Psalm 27 is really a reflection of David's past. This was not what he had in the past. And it's something that he had to slowly learn. So presently, as at this point in time in which he was asking for things, he was asking for things based upon what was in the past for the future. How do we look ahead to the future, right? I will, he said, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. Maybe it was still something that he had to learn. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So the past is important. Sometimes we go through all kinds of experiences, we make mistakes, we must learn from them. There are times when there will be victories. Well, thank God for those times. But we must learn from the past. And it helps us to understand how we should approach God in the present. And yet at the same time, we are still learning. David is still learning. Learning that he, as he moved forward to the future, there's so much for him to experience and to see in faith. See, one of the things that he had to learn is this idea of confidence. Can we find that kind of confidence in the Lord? The Lord is our light, the Lord is our salvation, the Lord is our strength. May this be our understanding of coming to the Lord with having to look for this confidence in him. See, there will always be problems. We will all face our own fair share of problems in life. I mean, I have my own fair share of challenges and difficulties and problems, even at home. Right? And we learn what it means to look to the Lord, to exercise that faith. Can God be the light to guide us to deal with the problems? Yes. Can he deliver? Can he save us from the situations that we find ourselves in? Definitely. Can he give us that strength to go through those times? Absolutely. And that's our confidence in the Lord. Right? That we will look to him and not just look for answers. Let's not just look for answers. Let's go to him. Yes, can we inquire? Definitely. But I think we want to go beyond just inquiring. We want to be able to learn to seek his face. Can we find that hope and confidence in him as our tabernacle, as our sanctuary? Absolutely. So let's learn. Let's learn to worship him for all the good things that he has done. And so much for us to rejoice in. You know, I'm really looking forward to Christmas. So much for us to rejoice. You see all these things? This Friday and Saturday, they're going to have a masterclass. And, you know, they are going to come out with a... we're all practicing Christmas songs, and they are hoping to play for us as an orchestra. You know, we're going to have a mini orchestra. We experienced that recently at an anniversary. It's going to be an even bigger one. And, you know, wow, there's so much for us to rejoice in and to look forward in our worship to the Lord. And I hope that you really take time to think about these things. Okay? All right, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for this time that we can learn a bit more what it means for us to come to you, to look to you as our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our light, our salvation, our strength. Even as we learn to face the problems of life, we know that there are times when these problems can be long drawn, and there can be times where we can be filled with anxiety and fears. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us to learn to find that confidence in you, and to be able, Lord, to turn to you, not only to make inquiries, but to learn to come before your presence and to experience what it means for us to see you face to face. We pray that you will continue to work in our lives, for we recognize how much we are lacking in faith, in hope, in confidence. And we pray, Lord, that you will teach us to continue to look to you and to appreciate all the good things that you will do for us and to give you praise and worship. We truly want to thank you this evening. And we ask that you especially bless us even as we go from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this evening. Good night and God bless.